This is a production by One and All Media. For more, head to oneandall.media.
So, who is the Holy Spirit? In essence, God in person, distinct from the Father and the Son. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? God's presence in you, working in conjunction with the Word of God to teach, guide, counsel, and encourage. However, what is the primary function of the Holy Spirit?
Today
with Jeff Fiennes, pastor, apologist, and Bible teacher.
Hello and welcome. This is Today with Jeff Fiennes. We're continuing in the Dirt Road Discipleship Series. And in this message, Pastor Jeff is sharing about being transformed by the Holy Spirit. He's preaching from John chapter 15.
It's good to see you. John 15. I want to read to you from John 15, verse 5 through 8. John 15, verse 5 through 8. One of my favorite passages this weekend. Verse 5, ready? I am the vine, not the vines. Although I am the vines. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So I want to talk to you this weekend about the Holy Spirit. There are going to be two sermons on the Holy Spirit because it's a lot of material. We're going to hit the basics this week and then next week get into the nitty-gritty. But what I want to share with you at the end of this message, but there's something at the end of this message that's taken me a lifetime to discover. This is the cool thing about being old in ministry, that you discover things about at this point in your life and you can share them with the generation that's quite a bit younger. So hold on tight. First of all, a fully devoted disciple of Jesus Christ comes to terms with the reality and the work of the Holy Spirit in his or her life. If you are a fully devoted follower, if you are the real deal when it comes to following Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit in your life and you're coming to terms with what that means. There is no such thing as a Christian, a true Christian, who does not have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into your life, according to Acts 2, at the point of conversion. When you truly give your life over to Jesus and you're baptized into Christ, the Bible says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may look around and say, man, if that's true, there are some people, man, they just don't look like, they look like they have the Spirit. It's the unholy Spirit. Now, I didn't say that there weren't people who were grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the fire of the Holy Spirit and suppressing the work of the Holy Spirit. That's true. But make no mistake, he saved you to sanctify you. He saved you to sanctify you. So the Holy Spirit comes into you. So here's what I want to discuss. Three sections. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? Number two, what is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Number three, what is the primary function of the Holy Spirit? First, who's the Holy Spirit? National Geographic produced a series called The Story of God. And in the series, it featured God himself, Morgan Freeman. And it only took a few minutes to hear various religious views refer to God as a force, a power, or this kind of binding energy. There was never a suggestion anywhere in what was produced that God is a person with whom we could relate, enter into friendship, and connect intimately with. Now, let me be clear. Now, how many times have you heard a press secretary say that and then give you a convoluted statement? How many times have we heard that? It's a popular, let me be clear, but then I'm not clear. Let me be really clear. The Holy Spirit is not a force, energy, or power. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is someone, not something. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. There's a reason that word was translated by the King James Version, and it's a bad reason. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. It's not a a spirit wandering around without personhood. And it's not, according to Hinduism, it is not a manifestation of God. He is not a manifestation of God. The question is not what is the Holy Spirit, but who is the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, is a person with divine attributes, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present third person of the Godhead. He is co-equal, co-existent, and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. So the Holy Spirit is a person teaching, speaking, interceding, grieving, distinct from the Father and the Son. Now, there is no perfect illustration to illustrate the Holy Spirit. There's just not. And as I've said before, the more pastors talk about it, the more they tend to go and move toward heresy. Because it is a difficult concept, but not an impossible one. After all, if God is God, He can reveal Himself in three persons, right? If God is God, there's no limit. He can do whatever He wants to do. But the thing that helped me when I was in seminary was if you take a ball of Play-Doh and you divide it into three balls. All right, we have Play-Doh. You've got three distinct balls, but each ball is made of the same substance, right? It's still Play-Doh. This is different from this, but it's still Play-Doh. This is different from this. It's still Play-Doh. The shape and form's a little different, but it's all Play-Doh. Now, in some respect, it's lacking, but the doctrine of the Trinity says that God is one being in three persons. Now, this is the only difficult part of the sermon this week. Stay with me. What is being? Being is the quality of essence that makes something what it is. The Holy Spirit, in essence, is the same as God's substance. You are made of human substance, therefore you're human. The Holy Spirit is a God being because He's of God's substance. That's the being of the Holy Spirit. What is the person of the Holy Spirit? Person refers to the quality of essence that makes someone who they are, who he is, who she is. So you are a human being, but that doesn't describe your personhood or your personality, right? The Holy Spirit is of God's stuff, but is also the third person, uniquely the third person of the Trinity, and has a distinct role from the Father and the Son. So that's why we say God, according to what Scripture teaches, and see, people will say, well, the word Trinity's not in the Bible. No, but the definition concept is everywhere. Beginning with, let us make man in our own image. Who's God talking to? The triune God. Let us make man in our own image. God is plural. Elohim is plural because He, again, is one being in three persons. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus the Son are equal in essence to God because they are the God substance. God reveals Himself in three different ways. So who's the Holy Spirit? God. In essence, God. In person, He is distinct from the Father and the Son. And once you were saved, the Holy Spirit came inside to dwell. Second question. Now you notice we could have spent a whole sermon on that, but we're moving. We can only do so much in 2 weeks. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? I didn't say what are the gifts from the Holy Spirit. That's next week. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preaches the first sermon, he says, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what do we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is not the same as gifts from the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the presence of the Spirit inside you, in you. He comes into you to live. He makes His dwelling place in your life, in your soul, your heart, your mind, emotions, whatever. He's there. He comes into your life at conversion and baptism. All right, now the question is, why? Why does He come in? Yeah, so we know there are great benefits. We're told that the Holy Spirit living in us, some of the benefits are, number one, we are looked at with filial favor. We are now in the family. Everything Christ has accomplished is given to us. Forgiveness of sin, conquering death, all the blessings associated with promised inheritance. All Christ won belongs to us. Look, this is good news. That alone should make you dance. That alone should make you say it's Friday, but Sunday's coming, right? We have victory over sin. We have fellowship with the Father. We can walk into the throne room of God with courage, knowing that we will receive mercy and grace, which is amazing. We're part of God's family. We're the sons and daughters of God. And we get, think about it, we get the inheritance, folks. Oh, my goodness. Now, I grew up in East Tennessee, and we used to hear about stories of inheritance. We never experienced them. But we heard these stories about when somebody would die, they would actually leave stuff for the people behind. But in my family, when somebody dies, it cost us about 15 grand to bury them. We'd never heard of this thing called inheritance. You know, our family's poor. The only thing we got was an expensive bill and people coming to our house that expected you to feed them. It was expensive when a friend died. But with Christ, all that he owns and all that he possesses, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it belongs to you and me. So when you're in God's family, all that is his is yours. Now, before I move on, let it sink in just a moment. The oceans, you know, the stars and the galaxies, the fruits and the vineyards, the mountains and the valleys, peace, joy, vitality, it's all yours. Now, you have a hard time seeing that because you're just facing life day to day and there's so much tension in your life that you just forget about that you're going to win in the end. And everything that your heart desires one day is going to be yours because of what Christ has done. And on days that you really think about that, you had an attitude of gratitude. You're thankful and you have a good prayer time, but most of the time we're distracted by other things. Even now, we're told that God gives us a deposit of what is yet to come. And the deposit, the down payment we're given, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit right now gives us wonderful things like divine comfort. In John 14, we're told that the Holy Spirit, by the way, the word is parakletos, which if you've studied Scripture for any length of time, you know that word. But it means what? Helper and counselor and advocate. And we've all experienced that. We just didn't attribute it to the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you've had times in your life when suddenly you were overwhelmed with comfort, overwhelmed with guidance and wisdom. You just forgot the power that's in you. So I've used the example of when my mom died, and we're all at the tent, and it's the graveside service, and they're lowering my mom down, and I was very close to my mom. The most pain I've ever felt in my life up to this point is at the death of my mom. And so they're lowering her in the ground. I'm sitting there, and I am weeping, and suddenly just I am overwhelmed with the love of God. And suddenly these scriptures start firing into my mind. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. To die is gain. These scriptures just started pouring in, and suddenly I started laughing, and my brothers were mad at me. Why are you laughing, man? Our mother's going down in the ground. And I said, no, she's not. Her body's going in the ground. She's been with Jesus 3 days ago. And so that's the power of the Holy Spirit taking the word that's in your life and using it as ammunition to comfort you, to guide you, to lead you. But all these are just deposits. They're down payments, a fraction of what will one day be the reality where the fullness of God is with us at all times. That's why there's no sadness. That's why there's no death. This deposit that shows us it's possible, God now is fully present and we are fully known. It's going to be a beautiful thing, but that's why we've said in the human condition, the Spirit and the Word work together to give you the major victories of your life. We spend a lot of time on that. Ephesians 6, once again, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Spirit uses the Word of God as an offensive weapon to defeat the enemies that try to destroy you. And the more the Word you have inside you, oh my goodness, the more ammunition the Spirit can fire. And He fires that in times of difficulty. He activates the right Word at the right time and the right place, and suddenly your countenance is raised. So, who is the Holy Spirit? In essence, God in person, distinct from the Father and the Son. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? God's presence in you, working in conjunction with the Word of God to teach, guide, counsel, and encourage. However, okay, now, what is the primary function of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to take you through a passage just quickly, and then we're going to get back to John 15 with that life-changing nugget. I know you've read Romans 8 a lot. I want to ask you to open your mind. Now, when I say open your mind, I don't mean just open to anything. Think about what I'm going to take you through right now. When we study Scripture, and I know there are many well-meaning people, and I know I don't have a monopoly on truth. I get that. But there is a science to Scripture, and it's the science of hermeneutics. And it's called hermeneutics because there is a science, there is an approach to Scripture, and one of the primary rules of Scripture is that context is king. We've heard this all of our lives. So to understand what God is saying, it's very important to understand what is the context. That sounds like something somebody else was saying for a while, but context. What is the context of Romans 8? Now, let me read to you Romans 8:29. Here's what it says. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So you know what we're doing right now, right? We are studying Scripture. Right now, I'm not meant to give you a pep talk. We are studying Scripture. And the Bible tells us that those God foreknew, and you've heard me say this before, prognosko, God knew something was going to happen beforehand. That's different than saying that God determines what's going to happen beforehand. Because if he foreknows something's going to happen beforehand, it's because he's already there. He's outside of time and space. He's not limited by time, so he knows the decisions you're going to make, but he does not predetermine the decisions you're going to make. You still have the freedom to make them. He just knows what you're going to do. Okay? But there is something that is predestined. That's something that he decided that you have no say in. And what he decided that you have no say in is if you do come to him and call on his name, he's going to save you and he's going to put his Holy Spirit in you for what purpose? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What does it mean that Jesus is the firstborn? Well, he's our elder brother in a very real way. And what do we see in Jesus? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, mercy, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are called the fruits of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. However, if you look at the preceding verse and you know that the whole of chapter 8, starting with verse 18, is about suffering, right? It starts with Paul saying that he compares the weight of our sufferings with the weight of what we'll experience in glory. So he says, if I compare the difficult days I have to go through now with what God is one day going to give me in my inheritance, there's no comparison. Every verse after that, all the way through the end of the chapter, is in the context of pain, tension, suffering. Now, in verse 28, he says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. That comes before the verse where he says, and those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, stay with me. Here's my point. There are statements that you hear at the gym all the time, and they're on the walls. If you've been going to the gym any length of time, you know these statements, okay? No pain, no gain. Hurt so good. Sweat is weakness leaving the body. The only bad workout is the one you don't do. Embrace the burn, right? But if you're my wife, you don't like any of those sayings. Your favorite saying is this: unless you fell off the treadmill, nobody wants to hear about your workout. Okay? Now, here's the point I'm making. All of these emphasize the importance of discomfort when you're attempting to reach your goals. If you don't have tension, there can be no growth. If you don't break the muscle down, you're not going to build it up. Now, back up a few more verses to verse 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, what is our weakness? Our weakness is that we want to do the good, but we struggle to do the good. We're sinners, right? It's the same word actually used in 1 Corinthians 15 when it's talked about we are sown in weakness, raised in strength. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? The will of God is that we are conformed to the image of his son. But we don't know what we need for that to happen. The Spirit knows what we need for that to happen. So he intercedes with us, with the Father. Because chances are high, most of us are never going to ask God to send us pain. But the Spirit will. The Spirit will look into our lives and say, okay, God, it's time for a little bit of potter and clay work. He knows what we need. And that's why later, a few verses later, we're told, sit tight now. This is the goal of your life, that you are conformed to the image of the Son of God. And then we're told, sit tight now. Don't worry. Everything works together for good, even though you may not feel like it. Everything's working together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? To make us like Jesus. The primary role, not the only role, but the primary role of the Holy Spirit in us is to sanctify us, to make us holy. Now, as a result of that, just quickly, and I got to move quickly because we want to get to this final part. As a result of that, when the Holy Spirit comes in, you've heard me say that He gives us three things. Now, He gives us more than that, but in way to understand it, He gives us the ability to see and be aware of things we've never been aware of. He gives us the ability to do things that we never thought we could do. And He gives us, oh, I love this one. Of course I do. I'm a sanguine. He gives us the ability to feel the presence of God, to feel as if it's feelings on steroids, okay? Feeling. So awareness, volition, and the ability to sense the presence of God. Now, let me go through these just quickly, but really quickly. When I talk about a greater spiritual sense or sense of spiritual awareness, you may not, I mean, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you may not realize this, but you see things other people don't see. You do. You're aware of things other people aren't aware of. When you have a heightened sense of what needs to go in your life, what needs to be added into your life, what attitudes are not in harmony with Jesus, what actions violate His word, that's proof that He's in you. So that's the good news. Because listen, what you learn as you live life, and the older you get, is not everybody has that. Not everybody will have that. There are many who cannot see these realities. They've been blinded by the god of this world, the demonic trinity. They believe that money and possessions are everything, that sex and power are the goals of life, and humility is significantly overrated. They see humility as a sign of weakness, not strength. And it's not that they see these things as sinful and futile, but fight against them and fail. No, they actually see that the way things are, that the way you should live your life is if you're going to win the ultimate game, he who dies with the most stuff wins. That's the attitude. That is the pride and the arrogance. You've had your eyes opened by the Holy Spirit. So you know, according to Mark 8, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And the irony is that you're the ones that are the happy ones. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, the joy you have becomes central. Their joy is peripheral. There's moments of joy, but they live with an awesome sense of what? Desperation. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, and let me just stop here for a second. If you don't have a desire in you to pursue holiness, if there is nothing in you, if you think like this, you know what? I want to be saved, but I don't want to be a disciple. Are you with me? I want to be saved, but I don't want to be a disciple. Brother, sister, listen. You're totally lost. There's no such thing as a saved person who's not a disciple. He saved you for the reason of sanctifying you, to make you holy.
You've been listening to Today with Jeff Vines. Thanks for joining us. Next time, we'll bring you the rest of this message from Pastor Jeff.
The Puritans referred to the Holy Spirit as the expulsive power of a new affection, which means that no addiction has power over you with the Spirit of God in you. No sin is your master. You are freed from the law of sin and death. You have the power of new life. So the power of conviction is present, which is good news. It means the Holy Spirit is in you. You have the power to evict things from your life because of the Holy Spirit.
You can listen to more messages like this. Just search for Today with Jeff Vines wherever you get your podcasts. You make me wanna dance and sing with every single breath I breathe. I will break this offering. You are my wonder. You make the wonder.
Today.
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 Today with Jeff Vines.
This is a production by One and All Media. For more, head to oneandall.media.